And for those who may be visiting or here for the first time, we are studying the longest chapter in the Bible, which is all about the Bible. The first morning we were together, we were seeking to bring before you the basis of all blessing. And we pointed out that as far as the Bible is concerned, it's forever fixed in heaven. It's founded forever, and it's going to endure forever. Then we considered Psalm 119, verses 1 to 9, or 1 to 8, the supremacy of the Holy Scriptures, or the basis of daily blessing. Now today it's quite a problem. What on earth to follow on from here? Because you see, I have 22 sections, and I have today and tomorrow. But anyways, I want to point out to you, verses 9 through 16 is for the young people. Is God interested in a young person? Can a young man trust his Bible? The answer is found verses 9 to 16. Then you'll come to the top of verse 17, and it's got Gimel. And the word, as anybody knows from the land of the Bible, the word Gimel is the word for camel. It's the ship of the desert. And what's a camel noted for? Not its clumsiness. A camel is noted for endurance. How can I endure in the midst of the persecution, the perplexity, the confusion, and the princes of this world? And he shows you from verses 17 through to 24 how to endure. Because we can be sure that which is going to remain, the Word of God is going to remain. And the man that does the will of God, he's going to remain. Because the world passes away, the lust thereof, and all that is in the world. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that's what you have in the third section. Now, I want to take up with you this morning verses 25 to 32. And tomorrow, by the help of God, I'll give you a little summary of the value of the Bible. But today, let's read verses 25 to 32. And what have you got up above verse 25? It's called what? Dawn. All right. In order for you to remember, that's what it means. A door. Now you know that a door is an entry. You know that a door is a passageway. And you know that once you enter into the door, you'll see things or find things that perhaps you didn't expect. Now that's what you remember. The fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Oh, here I'm back at this. The fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Daleth. And it simply means, in the English language, a door. Now, let's read and see what it says. My soul clingeth or cleaveth to the dust. Revive me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardst me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous work. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thine ordinances have I laid before me. I have clung unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now come with me, and let's go through this door, and let's see what God has for us just inside the door. It's no wonder he took up in the third section, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Well, here we come to the fourth section, and it's most suggestive. When our Lord was here, he made seven tremendous statements in the Gospel according to John. For in the Gospel of John, he paints seven pictures of his death, and they are really wonderful to study. Then he stated the seven I Ams. Then he gives to us seven steps in the pathway of faith. And as you study the miracles that are accomplished or performed in the Gospel of John, there are seven steps in the life of faith. What was the first one? He turned water into wine. And the emphasis is on whatsoever he saith, do it. And the next one, nevertheless, at thy word. And you see, the first one illustrates faith. Whatever he says, do it. And then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can go right through. And the seven miracles illustrate the pathway of faith that shineth more and more unto eternal glory. Then you have seven musts. And the book is just filled with a number of things that would make the heart of the Christian sing for joy if he only could get into it. Now, the Lord Jesus stated, I am the door. What did he mean? You have to ask the Jew. Because when Jesus says, I am the door, the Jews call it, the first five books of the Bible, they call it the door. You know why? Jesus says, I am the door. There's Genesis. The sovereignty of God who brings you into something you could never dream of in the wide, wide world. And that's why as you make your way through the book of Genesis, it's a door that you never, never want to go out. He leads you on. And whereas the devil says, thou shalt not die, the book of Genesis ends with a coffin. Thou shalt surely die. And all the way in between, you have the sovereignty of God declared in such a marvelous way. He picked up Abraham instead of Terah. He chose Isaac instead of Ishmael. He picked up Jacob instead of Esau. And he took Joseph instead of Reuben. And he's still at the business today. And I don't understand it. Why he picked me, but he did. And you learn something you can learn in no other way. For in Genesis you discover that you're a sinner. And he'll lead you step by step through the first five books of the Bible. And he'll bring you to where he wants you to bring you in the book of Deuteronomy, where we're seen as the students studying the things of God. And he traces the path in relation to God and man. Now in Exodus, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And it's the great book of redemption. I'm saved. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's Exodus. And then, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Exodus. And shall go in. And the whole of the book of Leviticus says, go in. Why? He'll teach you the meaning of the death of Christ in five offerings. And then we shall go out. That's the book of Numbers. As we go through the wilderness, he'll teach us that we are enabled of God to be cleansed. And that's why you have the ashes of a heifer. That's why the book of Numbers has the story of the brazen serpent. Because most of us live and die, and we fail to realize what bogs us all down. We have been bitten by a serpent. And we don't discover what's within. And that's one of the lessons that God teaches us. And when did God's people learn it? At the end of the journey. And most of us don't learn it. That in me dwelleth no good thing. So don't put your confidence in men. Put your confidence in the Lord, dear widow. And if you're among the fatherless or the motherless, and you have little of this world's goods and all that it has, remember, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. You can't beat that. because God is God. Then you come to the book of Deuteronomy and you find pasture, because there's no book in the whole of the Jewish economy that sets forth the value of the scriptures like the book of Deuteronomy. And that's why Jesus quoted from it three times. He loved it. And in one little verse, our Lord epitomized, he summarized the whole of the teaching of the five. And so the Jews call it the book of the door. What an introduction to a study like we're in this morning. And what do I learn, the first thing? I learned that if I'm ever going to know anything about God and His Word, I've got to have desire. I've got to know something about prayer. I've got to know something about dependence. I've got to come as a little child, because I haven't got all the answers. I don't know what's what. But I can learn from God. And what I learn from God, no man will ever take away from me. And if I die today, what I've learned of God is going to stay with me through all eternity. And now here's what he says. My soul clingeth to the dust. Revive me according to thy word. How did you get up this morning? Well, if you know anything about your own life, you know as well as I do that oftentimes you get up in the morning and you don't have any hangover because you haven't been out painting the town red the night before. But you know what it is to have your soul clinging to the dust. Because I came into this world, I'm born of the earth, earthy. And as a man, I gravitate to the earth. I cling to the earth. And it's like the old man over 80, and I'm visiting in the hospital, and I have a word of prayer with him, and I read, and we have a good chat. And he says, Brother Rainey, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He says, is it wrong for me as an old Christian? I've been on the way over 50 years. And now, he says, I'm bedridden. And he says, even though I have desires to depart and be with Christ, he says, I just want to stay here as long as I can. Is that sinful? I looked and I said, what do you think you are? An angelic being? I says, you're of the earth, earthy. And as long as there's a little bit of life, we gravitate to the earth. And if we go on long enough, we'll go back into dust. For dust we are, and to dust we return. But as you go on in the things of God, and you learn something about God, you discover that all my strength, my refuge, my source of supply isn't found in me. It's not found in my friends. It's not found all about me. It's found in Him. And that's why He says, make me alive, quicken me, revive me. And you see, as you walk through this psalm, you discover about the soul that clings to the dust. Then he says, my soul melteth for heaviness in verse 28. And as you go on a little bit further in the psalm, you'll find, my soul fainteth. And then if you read here in verse 20, my soul breaketh. And Jesus knew something about this. Because when Jesus was here, he walked this earth. And he saw something and his soul actually shook. And then on another occasion, his body shook. And then in another, or it says, was troubled. And then on another occasion, his spirit was troubled. And when you look at the Lord Jesus, he was troubled in spirit, he was troubled in soul, and he was troubled in body. And you can study them all in the Gospel of John. And he was God. And if that happened to the Son of God, our blessed Lord, what about me? Have you ever been troubled in spirit? Yes. Have you ever been troubled in your soul when the tears come down your cheeks and you're really moved? Have you ever seen or experienced something when the whole bottom dropped out of life? And like Job, the thing that I feared has come upon me, and your whole being quaked. And it's in such a time as this that the ancients, you could tell, they'd put something black on. Then they would take dust or pieces of dirt and they would shake it and put it on their heads. That's what he's talking about. Because his soul has gravitated to the dust. He's so bogged down with the things that come upon him. And his whole being, he doesn't seem to find any relief. And he says, my soul clingeth to the dust. And sometimes when I get up in the morning, I feel as dead as the Dead Sea. And if you think that God is a wondrous reality every moment of the day, I don't know what kind of being you are. Because one of my greatest tasks in life is to keep my soul in touch with God. Because there's so much against me. There's a trinity of evil all about me. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And there's a sea of iniquity within me. And wherever I look, I see something of the smog and the fog of S-I-N. And then I walk around and I see a person with a cane. Then I go someplace and he says, what was that you said? Come around the other side, I can hear you a little better. And wherever I go, I see it. And so my soul is all bogged down, cluttered up. But God wants me to live. Because Jesus came into the world, I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it what? More abundantly. That's why before you come to a meeting like this, you need to do a little praying. Lord, keep me awake. Because not always a preacher puts you to sleep. That's why when I go to some meetings, I wish sometimes I had the power of God like an Elijah to really move people. But it's not by might, it's by His Spirit. And that's why I so love the people when they go into the church, they bow their heads and ask the Lord to help them. And they might not remember everything, but they might remember something of the Word of God. And as far as I'm concerned, it matters very little what you remember or think about me, if only I can leave something of God's Word in your heart, that as you go through this world with all its problems and its difficulties and its trials, that the Word of God will be an anchor to your soul and keep you in the darkest hour. And that's why he says here, revive me. And it's found about 8 times here. Make me alive. Because most of us are asleep at the switch. That's why again and again, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. That's why Isaiah said 3 times, awake, awake. That's why Paul said, it's high time to awake. Because if we were left to ourselves, we'd dilly-dally and doze away so many of our hours. And even to your old age, you can bring forth fruit. You try praying and the devil will rock you to sleep. You try meditating on the things of God and you'll prove there's an evil force. And I tell you, it demands diligence. And it demands prayer. And I often ask the Lord to keep me at it. Because I know what it is to grow slack. I know something about being slothful. But I'm glad I have a heart and a mind to set my heart on things above. And set my affections on things above. And so notice what he says here. He says, revive me in verse 25. He says, teach me in verse 26. He says, make me in verse 27. He says, strengthen me in verse 28. He says, remove from me, verse 29. And grant me in verse 29. Now you see, all of this is born out of desire created in his heart, I believe, by the Spirit of God. And this is the necessity of coming to the Word of God and just saying a little prayer. Lord, quicken me. Lord, teach me. And you see, if you learn something about God as this man did in these first few verses, well, then you'll say, teach me. Now he's learned something about himself. And that's why I think you've got this. Oh, it's really wonderful if you go through these different verses. Like, you can go all the way down, teach me. And I think I got them listed, but I'll just mention them just briefly. Verse 33, if you'll skip your eye. Verse 33, teach me. And it's up above it is hey. And that's the word for Jehovah. And every single verse from verse 33 to verse 40 is a prayer. He says, teach me, give me, make me, incline me, turn me, establish me, turn me, give me. All prayer, a whole thing on every verse of prayer, and it affects your eyes, your mind, your feet, and your heart. Now, he says in verse 26, teach me. And you have it about seven times, and somebody will sure find eight, but there's seven times he says, teach me. Now, in verse 28, he says, strengthen me, because it's only the Word of God that can strengthen you. And then he says, remove from me the way of lying. And that's why I often ask God to keep me from erroneous doctrine. Keep me from leading God's people into something as asinine as this movement that's sweeping the world today. Tongues. Fullness of blessing. And a lot of things that they go after today, and they get the people off the path of God. And I've seen how it's wrecked families and it's spoiled marriages. I've seen it come into the Assembly of God, and now some among some of our missionaries, they're even questioning the impeccability of Christ. That is, in English language, could Jesus sin? Ah! How did they get into it? They get away from the Bible, that's all. And if you'd follow a psalm like this, you'd say, remove from me the way of lying, because the devil is so clever, he can pervert your own mind in such a way that you'll absolutely believe that what you're teaching is okay, like the Jehovah Witnesses, and like the followers of Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, and all the rest of them. And that's why a man needs to pray this prayer. Remove from me. Because the devil is always on the path of a man who really wants to please God. And if you want any information, go study the book of Job. He didn't pick the worst in the land. He picked the best. And if God can see us through, to him be the glory. But the business of the devil is to corrupt the best. And that's why we need to stay our soul upon the living word of God. And that's why Job says, I have esteemed the words of thy lips more than my necessary food. Do you know anything about it? How many of you have ever missed a meal for the Word of God? But that was Job. And that's why he came through triumphant. And Job teaches us what it means to stay your soul upon the living and the true God. What word for God does Job use more than any other man in the Bible? El Shaddai, the God who is enough. Because he knew the breast of God. And just like John leaned on the bosom of God and got an insight into the heart of God like few men, and just like Daniel was so close to God and got such a view, these men saw further than many men in their generation. And if you want to see down through the vista of time and see what God has in store, study John. If you want to know what's going to happen to the Gentile world and all these heathen godless empires, study Daniel. And if you want to know something about the care of God, the kindness of God, the sympathy of God, the love of God, the providence of God, study Job. And oh, Christian, would God I could help you. But if you want to be strengthened, come to the Word of God. For he says, my soul breaketh or melteth for heaviness. Strengthen now me according to thy word. And when you pass through the valley of the shadow and things grow dark and difficult, cling to the Bible. Get to the Word of God. And just like a man that gets new life or reviving, he picks himself up, he straightens himself up, and then he walks. And there's many a time when as God's people, we are so depleted of strength, we are so deflated because we've learned out of experience how poor we are, how weak we are, how shallow we are. We fall flat on our face. And then we come to the Bible. And the Lord puts his hand under our chin and he lifts up our head and he says, look up. Look away. Trust in me. I'll see you through. And when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. The fire shall not come upon thee, because he waits to be gracious. But you got to do your part. You got to come to the Bible. But most of us would rather talk to a friend and waste all kinds of time. Most of us would rather take a prescription. Most of us would rather swallow a pill. And they may have their place, but you'll never, never get away from what God teaches you. You want to be strengthened, go to the Bible. And that's why when you talk to some Christians, this dear lady, she just warmed my heart. She says, the Lord wakened me in the night and he just spoke to me. And she didn't say it was a fairy airy thing. She quoted from the verse. And she quoted the verse. And she'll be able to put her hand on that verse and say, this is what the Lord said to me. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust you. And if we would just in our ordinary conversations and life live the way that men like Ananias did, he was going a long life's journey. They didn't have any Bible. And the Lord called him. And he says, Lord, here I am. And the Lord said, I want you to go down such and such a street. He said, you know that street, the well-known street. Well, he says, you'll find a man down there and he's in need. But you know what you'll find him doing? He's praying. And when he found out who it was, he couldn't take it in. But he did what the Lord said. And he lived in such a way that the Lord was able to communicate with him. Now, how does the Lord communicate with us? He doesn't like some great voice rising out of the deep or swirling through the air. It doesn't. It's not in a tremendous earthquake. But sometimes a still, small voice, when you're quiet, when you're reverent, when you're expectant, and you happen to be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden it'll just come alive like that. God spoke to me. And you know it. And nobody can shake you. You know it. God spoke to you. That's why if you're ever going to be a missionary, God help you. If God doesn't call you, you'll never stick at it. And when it comes to certain things in life today, if God isn't in it, it'll soon prove itself. And that's why it says, the Lord strengthened me. And I constantly pray this prayer. And you can go down right through it. It's all here. Because he says, my soul clingeth to the dust. Revive me. I have declared my way. So my brother and I, we haven't seen each other for a long time. And confession is good for the soul. So we chat about things. How do you see this? How has the Lord dealt with you? How has he dealt with me? We've been 9,000 miles away. How are things? And so I say, I have declared my ways. And he declares his ways. And what happens? And thou heardst me. Because you see, the Lord knows about our lives. He takes knowledge of us. And he leads him one way, he leads me another way. And then out of my heart I cry, teach me thy statutes. And we'll never go very far astray if we're honest one with another and share with one another, because I can help you, you can help me. And when you say, the Lord gave me this, or the Lord showed me this, or the Lord... And you're making confession that you really believe in this. And you believe that God hears you. And he says, thou heardst me. And I know God took knowledge. And then, I constantly knowing my lack of wisdom, I just say, Lord, teach me. And you see, this is the way God leads a man. And that's why he's doing this. And he takes me by the hand and he says, come, I want to show you. And so just as you walk into a home and you see a person's likes and you see how the way they've set up this and the way they, how this, and it's so nice. Now, well, people have tastes and people have desires and they have delights and so on. Well, that's the way with the Bible. They take me to Disneyland. And to me, it's a world of wonder. It's absolutely amazing. And I can say, and with my wife, we squeeze each other's hands because we're on a monorail. Well, it's the ways of the world. And boy, man has thought this out. He took from a swamp and he made this. And now it's making money. It's bringing the riffraff and all types of people, good and bad, bringing them down into Florida. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, and that's why he's doing this. And he takes me by the hand and he says, come. I want to show you. And so just as you walk into a home and you see a person's likes and you see how the way they've set up this and the way they, how this, and it's so nice. Now, well, people have tastes and people have desires and have delights and so on. Well, that's the way with the Bible. They take me to Disneyland. And to me, it's a world of wonder. It's absolutely amazing. And I can see, and with my wife, we squeeze each other's head because we're on a monorail. Well, it's the ways of the world. And boy, man has thought this out. He took from a swamp and he made this. And now it's making money. It's bringing the riffraff and all types of people, good and bad, bringing them down into Florida. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, God says, come to me and I'll show you the wonders of the book. And if we only had eyes to see, but we haven't. Some of us are blind. And that's why eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man or a woman, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God will reveal them to us by his Spirit. And long before you ever get to heaven, he can give you a little bit of heaven in your soul. And way over in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, and if you do this, and this, and this, you shall have heaven, days of heaven on the earth, the only place in the Bible. And what's it all about? The Bible. And in those days, they only had five books. You've got 66. And that's why if I come to the Word of God, and I appropriate it, and I accept it, I will have many a day when I'm on the earth. Oh, Lord. There's nobody in the world like you. I just love you. I adore you. I worship you. I want to live for you. And I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. Because there's nobody like the Lord. And then he'll bring people into your life. And you'll find that their heart beats the same as your heart. Because hearts that are bound heart to heart are seldom far apart. But you see, so many of us are all, it's all up here. And there's so little down here. And the Bible is a book for the heart. And today men and women need something for the heart because the going is too tough and things are too difficult. And if we only live up here, God help us, what we need is something down here to warm our hearts, to cheer us, to comfort us. And that's why there's no book like the Bible for living. There's no book like the Bible for dying. There's no book like the Bible for suffering. Because it's all in here. And the very expressions that rise up within your heart and go as you go through life and the emotions that take possession of you, every last one of them are found in this book called the Psalms. Because in the book of the Psalms, you have the feelings of our God. In the law, you have the figures of God. In the prophets, you have the foreshadowings of God. But in the Psalms, you have the feelings of God. And that's why deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Then you say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd get out of this, I'd fly away. Then God puts his steadying hand upon you and he says, where will you fly? If you go there, I'm there. If you go way over there, I'm there. The main thing is having him here. Where shall I flee from his Spirit? And lots of times God allows things to come into our life to get us to come to the place where we'll just drop everything. Just let go and let God. And we'll just drop in some quiet place or go to some quiet place. And then just get ourselves calm and collected and in a reverential attitude sit down. And now, Lord, just speak to me. And he will. And he'll teach you sometimes more in 5 minutes than you can learn in 50 years on the go. Because that's the way of God. I've learned more at the morning meeting that they're trying to take away from me and robbing me than I've learned in my study with hours in Hebrew and Greek. Why? Because some dear brother will stand up and maybe he'll just read one or say something, but God has revealed it to him and then he'll give it. But what have we got now? A lot of puppets, a lot of jack-in-the-boxes, a lot of jump, jump, jump. And that's why it's such a joy to come to a place where there's worship. Because only God himself can teach a man worship. And I've been in some meetings in this country, and I've only been here a few weeks, that many of the African Christians could teach them a great lesson. Because having been saved out of sin and heathendom, they know what it is to express their faith in Jesus Christ as they pour out their heart and affection to the living God. Then you come back, and you come to your own country and among your own people, and you wonder where they've been all their life. Because it's just parrot prayers. And only God can teach us some of these things. And that's why we need to enter through the door. And we need to bow ourselves in the presence of God. And we need to learn to sup with him. Because Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he is the door. And if any man enter in, what happens? He can sit down with him and sup with him. And where is Jesus Christ today in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ? He's outside the door. We are in Laodicea. And we need to get back. And we need to sup with him. We need to learn to sit with him. And then he'll pour into our hearts such a blessing you can't contain it. And you'll say, take the world, but give me Jesus. Yes, well, sister, you must understand. Because sometimes when I'm preaching, people are way out there in left field. And if our hearts are in tune with God, there'll be many a day here in the face of the earth. You don't have to say anything. You just know. And as time moves on and your body begins to break down and life becomes more difficult, the God of the Bible, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I close on these three notes. You see, from verses 25 to 29 is my desire. Now here, in verse 30, is my decision. I have chosen the way of truth. Thine ordinances have I laid before me. Now, my father didn't choose for me. He wanted me to go God's way. But there had to come a time in my life when I had to make a choice. And I made the choice. Bless God. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And I have chosen the way of truth. That is, the way of truth is the word truth, is the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter of the alphabet. I have chosen this, the truth of God, because truth is expressed in a living personality. His name is Jesus Christ. And the truth of God is expressed in a living book. It's called the Bible. And I have made my choice. And oh, what a decision. Entreat me not to leave thee, or forsake from falling after. Where thou goest, I'll go. Where thou diest, I will die. Thy people shall be my people. And I've chosen the truth. And when you choose the truth of God, what does it do? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free! And a lot of people are in bondage today because they're tied up with certain things, and they just seem to get in deeper and deeper and deeper. And what God wants is liberty. And how can you get free? The Lord is the only one. Because man would put you in a straitjacket. He'd make you a slave to things and techniques and theories. But when you come to know the Lord, he takes the shackles off. He sets you free. And sometimes people say, why do you stick among brethren? I want my freedom. And I want to be able to worship God. And I thank God for the freedom of this country. And I'm able to worship the living and the true God the way I see that is revealed in the Bible. And if Jesus came back to this world and he came to visit, where would he be? He'd just be among simple, ordinary people. Those that love him. Because if you dwell in God, you dwell in love. And if you dwell in love, you dwell in God. And God comes into such a life and he manifests himself. And that's why it's such a delightful thing to meet up with old people. And they've learned out of experience with God in such a way that even a young boy can understand, she knows, he knows. Why? They've walked with God. And I have chosen. Oh, people of God, choose the truth. And stick by it. And that's why he leads right on. It's just natural. And yet it's spiritual. Verse 30 and 31, they go together. You can't divorce them. I have clung, or I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Now this is God's word. And here you are, old, and things are difficult, and you don't know the future. Well, you're God's child. And if you're following the right way, I've tried to do the right thing, Lord. I just don't know the way. I'm not too sure. Don't put me to confusion. And this will go to you till you die. Why? Because whosoever putteth in trust in the Lord, he shall not be put to confusion. That's the word of God. It was quoted by Isaiah. And Peter picked it up. And Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 2. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be put to confusion. We all believe John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And we believe it just like that. But how many of us believe this? I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to confusion. And he won't. But there's a tendency in all of us that we're only human. We're only mortal. We're just weaklings. But to see, I have stuck. And just like a little postage stamp, I just marvel. You put it on, stick it, and sometimes it goes on. And look what they did away in Rhodesia. We're not there. And they put a big cross in, stuck it up, sent it all the way back here. Then it lands over there in Bermuda. Then from Bermuda it goes down to Augusta, Georgia. And then finally it finds me right here. All over a little stamp. Why? It bears the authority of the government. And if God has put a mark on my thumb, and God has put a mark on my ear, and God has put a mark on my toe, and he's not only sealed me by his Spirit, but I'm under the blood. And I belong to the aristocracy of heaven. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm one of his children. And sometimes I say, Lord, your property is in danger. Help me. And sometimes being tested or tempted, Lord, take over. It's too much for me. And I have stuck. And would to God we had stickability in our day and generation. And that's why among our assemblies, this one drops off, that one drops off. They go here where the pasture looks greener. And they follow on over there. And as we get nearer the end of the age, what is it? Where two or three are gathered together. And we may live to see it. And that's why, regardless of what may come, we can stick to the Lord and cleave to the Lord and follow the Lord and abide by what he says. And we'll prove that the pathway of the Christian is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And so I have stuck. Now look how he finishes. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He began in the doldrums. It's like the book of Exodus. It ends in the glory of the Lord appeared. And here's my life. And I get up in the morning and I just don't feel up to it. And the Lord seems 10 million miles away. But I pray. And as I muse, the fire burns. And I speak to the Lord, and my heart is filled. And I don't want anything to come in to hinder or rob it. And then something goes wrong. And everything seems to be at sixes and sevens. But I stick to the Word of God. And what does he say? I will run. So instead of being depressed, like my soul melting for heaviness, instead of being bogged down by the dust and the fog of this earth, I rise in the energy of faith and I get up into the eagle's country. And everything is different when you look at it from God's viewpoint. And it says, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And that's why he says so much about the heart. He says in verse 2, I'm to seek him with the whole heart. Then he speaks of verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And it's amazing how many times. How do you get the enlarged heart? You have to grow and develop in the spiritual things. And just like an enlarged heart will take you out of this world a little quicker physically, an enlarged heart spiritually will add life and days and liberty and deep, deep joy and satisfaction. And so that's why he says here, I'll run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And why is it that some people find it a bane and a bore going to meetings? And I don't mind coming to the Park of the Palm, but if we have to go to meetings every day, God help us. And so they're here, they're there. But you see, when you're in touch with the living Christ of God and you're enjoying sweet communion with him day after day, no task is too menial. No job is too small. And you say, Lord, if I can be a blessing to that one, let me be a blessing. If I can be a help to that person, let me be a blessing to them. And you don't consider so much yourself. You consider others. And that's why many a time, in the study of the Word of God, and in prayer, hours and hours and hours, it's worth it. Why? Because I might be as a channel of blessing to you. You may be a channel of blessing to me. And when you get the enlarged heart, the Lord's work, there's nothing like it in the face of the earth. The Lord's people, there's no one like them on the earth. And regardless of all that takes place and all that may come and go, you have the enlarged heart. So you see, the first few verses speaks of desire. Verse 30 speaks of my decision. Verse 31 speaks of my determination. And verse 32, I will run my dedication. May God help us to follow on in the pathway of faith. For the day will soon dawn and the shadows will soon flee away. And we shall enter in to the fullness of joy forever. And we shall see Him in the morning by and by. The Lord encourage you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon thee. The Lord send you on your way.